Today on the Travel Guys.
Who gets to go first? I'm sorry, I was talking.
In the travel news, Groupon travel deals aren't always as good as they appear. There's a garden at O'Hare Airport, and we've got details on the Roadkill Festival.
Boy, what a heck of a start, huh? All right. We got a great prize for one of our listeners today. It's a special pre-opening tour of the airport next Sunday morning, along with a Sunday brunch. Compliments of sports leisure vacations.
We are joined in studio by world traveler and Virgin Airlines pilot Henry Bernacki as he prepares for another of his fascinating adventures, this time to Africa.
Plus, we've got a festival that would wash your blues away. It's a special fundraiser, and that'll be in our entertainment segment.
All that and more today with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
The name of the road.
The road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
I'm on Route 66.
Mass entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yes, the show is on. Welcome, everyone. It's a beautiful Sunday, the 25th. Tom Romano here. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations across the way from me. Welcome. We're here every Sunday, 2 to 3, on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Did you look out the window? You just said it's a beautiful Sunday.
I think it's a beautiful Sunday. I love this weather.
Yeah, it looked like it might rain for a while,
It could sprinkle.
Yeah, it's nice. It sure is nice having weather in the middle 70s, though. I'll tell you what.
I'm okay with it. The only problem is, and a lot of people are probably in the same situation, you still have patio furniture and stuff outside that you really don't want to get wet. So I had to spend half of my morning covering and kind of planning for maybe some showers today.
I see. While the wife was sipping a cup of tea at the kitchen table.
Coffee and the newspaper,
yeah.
To be exact. Well, all right, folks. We got a great show ahead of us. Let's get to it. Let's bring on the Mark Hoffman trio. We lost one of the members last week. I don't know what happened. It used to be a foursome. But anyway, up to Mark now.
To get down to two. We'll just have a guy with sticks in the background there.
There you go. What's new in the
news? In the travel news, the Polynesian Cultural Center in Hawaii on Oahu is going to spend $38 million over the next 5 years for renovations, new activities, shows, restaurants, and more. First phase of the upgrade is already underway. Visitors to the Federal Reserve Bank in Kansas City's Money Museum now have the opportunity for an enhanced tour experience with a launch of new audio content throughout the museum. To access the audio tour, visitors can use their mobile phone to dial a phone number, scan a code, or type a URL address posted on exhibit signs.
A money museum. Yeah, Scrooge McDuck had one of those, didn't he?
I think you're going to see a lot more of this where phones are going to be used to access information in museums and attractions is definitely a thing of the future.
They have that funny little code now on lots of different things, including TV programs where you can scan it and your phone will tell you more information about it or take your money.
If you are traveling with a stroller or something else that's a little different, odd-sized or in an odd case or something like that, here's something that you should know about. From our friend Christopher Elliott comes a story about a family that lost not one but two strollers traveling with American Airlines. On a recent Air American flight from Dallas to Telluride, this lady and her husband and her 17-month-year-old son, she took every precaution to make sure her $700 stroller, why you would pay $700 for a stroller, I'm not sure, but that it would be safe because she had an extra $90 case for it. Of course, American Airlines destroyed the stroller. And when she went and said, well, what compensation do I get for it? They said, none. It's an odd-sized bag, and you signed a little thing. It says, we don't have any liability for these odd-sized suitcases. So point is here, also, interestingly enough, they had a portable stroller that they had that they checked gate side,
yes,
on the aircraft.
What happened to it?
It got lost also.
Well, of course.
The point is, if you're traveling with something that's an odd size item.
I resemble that.
A musical instrument, something that might be of great value to you, but not of great value to the airline. You might want to consider some type of insurance or make sure that it's covered under your homeowner's insurance or something before you hand it off to an airline.
I know this is probably a question you don't have an answer for, but why is it the odd size stuff that you have to watch out for?
Well, the airlines have decided that if it's odd size and it's odd that they, you know, they really don't want to handle it. And if they do, it's at your risk.
Hey, Jack, there's an odd-sized looking case. Let's make that guitar disappear.
Well, you know the story about the United Airlines guitar and how the guy was sitting in the airplane and he saw them playing with the guitar. Anyway, that's a long story. Here's another interesting airport news headline. At O'Hare Airport, they now have a garden supplying some of the airport's restaurants. It's
sustainable.
Right between Terminal 2 and 3, they're growing jalapeno peppers, onion chives, Swiss chard, and 44 different types of herbs and vegetables right there in the airport.
There's nothing like a little, jet engine exhaust to help your vegetables be their best.
Speaking of our Consumer Reporter friends, our buddy Ed Perkins reported that there's a new airline fee that you probably won't impact you yet, but it might someday. Ryanair, Europe's favorite low-cost airline, I say that tongue-in-cheek, has decided that if you buy a ticket and you don't have one of their MasterCards, a Ryanair MasterCard, that you will pay a £6 surcharge, that's about $9.50 under current exchange rates, for each leg of your trip. And people say, well, that's just really ridiculous. That could never happen here. Maybe not.
There's no extortion law there.
Can't you see someday United Airlines saying, hey, you don't have a United Airlines credit card, so you'll have to pay $3. I can see that kind of stuff coming. All right, listen, in West Virginia this weekend, something a little bit more fun in the travel news. They had the Roadkill Cook-Off and Autumn Harvest Festival in Marlington, West Virginia. Those folks know how to poke fun at themselves. From Dixie Deer Chili to Route 219 Turtle Soup, it is a centerline smorgasbord of culinary creations.
With raccoons, all the possums and deer.
With all the twisty-turny roads up here in the mountains, there's a lot of roadkill, a spokesperson for the local Visitors Bureau told MSNBC.com. Fortunately for the squeamish, the festival doesn't require that the dishes on display be made with actual roadkill. According to the official rules, most of the judges would prefer that it didn't.
Yes.
Instead, dishes must be based on any animal commonly found by the side of the road. As a result, competitors have served up everything from local casualties, raccoons, possum, and deer, to more exotic fender fare, including
armadillo,
alligator, and buffalo. They had 18,000 people at the festival last year.
I thought it was just a big rock in the road on my way to Texas. But I think it was,
And finally, we talked on this program a few months ago about Groupon travel deals and why you need to be careful about inflated retail prices of things and how half off might not always be half off. Well, here's a little bit of a different twist. A lot of folks in Southern California took advantage of a Groupon travel deal that involved round trip bus tickets to Las Vegas, only to find out that the buses either didn't arrived very late, weren't up to the standards that they were supposed to. Folks ended up getting stuck, things like that. A word to the wise: when it comes to Groupon and travel deals, do your homework. That's the best wisdom I can give you.
And that's the travel news here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. What's coming up?
All right. Coming up after the break, we have the Sports Leisure Traveler Update. We have Henry Bernacki in studio with us, and we're going to talk. Henry is one of our favorite world travelers, and he has come from San Francisco to talk with us today. If you have a question for Henry, you are welcome to give us a call in. We have a lovely prize. We'll talk a little bit more about how you can win that if you'd like to be with us at the airport next Sunday, having a very private pre-opening tour. And then join us for Sunday brunch. You listen right in, because after the break, we're going to tell you how you can win. We are the Travel Guys. This is News Talk 1530 KFBK.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Hey, and it's time for your Sports Leisure Traveler Update for Sunday, the 25th of September. It is the 25th of September, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is. Did I say it wrong?
No, you didn't say it wrong. I was just asking. Just, yes. You're the radio man, so I figured you would.
26th of September.
I said the 25th of September.
Oh, that's okay.
26th is tomorrow.
Okay.
Your Travel Club Update. Lucky Travel Club winners for today. If you are
Tom Romano,
Bill Gerson, or Debbie Crittenden, Bill Gerson or Debbie Crittenden, please give Sports Leisure Vacations a call before the close of business Tuesday. You can claim $100 in travel cash. That's Bill Gerson or Debbie Crittenden. And a reminder that Sports Leisure Vacations has tickets to the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, which are being held in San Jose in January. We will also have tickets to the U.S. Gymnastic Trials, which will also be held in San Jose in June. details on that package have not been announced yet. If you would like to get your name on a list, priority list for the gymnastic trials, or to get information on the figure skating championships, go to sportsleisure.com or give us a call at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687, and that is your travel club update for today.
Okay, coming up, of course, we got Henry in just about 10 seconds, but we've got a great prize.
We do. Let's tell folks a little bit about this prize. If you are available next Sunday morning and you and a guest would like to join some other sports leisure travelers on a very exclusive private tour of the Sacramento airport, you have to be available on Sunday morning for this prize. It includes Sunday brunch. We'll give the winner more details afterwards. All you have to do is be the lucky caller who can answer a trivia question.
Yes, do you?
Sacramento Metropolitan or Sacramento International.
Do your homework.
Airport. If you can answer a trivia question, we won't give you the question until you're on the air. So 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. If you would like to answer a trivia question and be eligible to perhaps see the airport in advance, the brand new terminal out there, and speaking of airports. So 921-1530, 800-834-1530, and we'll take a few calls throughout the show. And the first person who can answer one of our difficult trivia questions correctly will win the brunch and the tour of the airport for two next Sunday. That's where I will be in the morning. And in the afternoon, I will be here reporting on the new airport with you.
And I understand you're going to get some special comments if all goes well with some of your travelers.
I'm kind of hoping that we'll get some input from people who are out there and what they think about the airport and the whole people mover thing and the whole concept. And of course, the whole new airport is going to open in a couple of weeks, and we'll have some more details from Gina about that next week. Because really and truly, if you can avoid being out there the first couple of days that switch is made, I would suggest to you that would probably be a good idea.
There you go.
All right. In studio with us is a very special guest who has come all the way from San Francisco. Henry first joined us back in June in studio, and we had a really interesting conversation about what it was like to fly an airplane. As those of you who have...
Not just any plane.
Not just any airplane, a Virgin America airplane. And as folks who have listened to this program for the last year and a half know, we've had a little bit of a struggle getting folks from within the inner circle of the airline industry on the air with us because of union things and people being afraid that people will say the wrong thing or not say the right thing or whatever it is that they would say on a little harmless Sunday afternoon travel show. But Henry has graciously agreed to join us once again. He is here in studio with us. Good afternoon, sir.
Bernadette, you want to get there.
Get Henry, make Henry live.
Hi, Henry.
Hello there, gentlemen. Thank you for having me back. How are you?
We are fine. How are you this morning?
Wonderful, excellent. Honestly, the drive up was very pleasant.
I think we need to point out that one of the first connections with Henry was also having to do with his book. When he was on last time, we asked for callers any questions for Henry, and we had, I think three callers who called up, didn't really have a question, but wanted to comment on how wonderful the book was.
Henry has written a book called No More Heroes. It's a fairly short read. It's only about 160 pages, I think.
Yeah, about 166. So with the new version, it's about 180.
And it's really very much about people and places, people that you've, would it be safe to say people that you've met? People, composites of people that you've met?
Yeah, fiction, nonfiction. I disclaim fiction just so I stay out of trouble.
and it takes place in San Francisco and in Nepal. And it's, I would say it's very much a reflection of your lifestyle, of your attitude about, of going places and discovering things and taking a lot of things really at face value. And it makes me wonder why somebody with that type of philosophy, life philosophy, would get into it, would be an airline pilot.
Oh, the freedom. I have my days off and I can just go to the airport and jump on a plane, go somewhere that I would like to go to, and it doesn't require booking a ticket, which most people have to do online.
Now, explain to folks about flying in a jump seat and about how that works for an airline pilot. You can go to the airport.
Yes, I go to the airport, and I obviously have to be in my uniform. I have to have certain credentials. They match it on the computer, and the gate agent gives me certain verifications, and I go talk to the captain, and as well as the first officer, as well as the in-flight, the lead. I don't step into the cockpit until I talk to the lead in-flight, flight attendant, and I ask if I can go and talk to the pilots and see if I can catch a ride.
Is that the best part of the job, Henry, you think?
Actually, probably it's up there, I would say, but I truly do travel for people. And so obviously the people out of my six airlines, Virgin employees, really wonderful people. I really believe that. And so airlines have such a diverse, I don't want to use the word diverse, but I'm going to, group of people. I mean, you have people from the main office, the CEO, all the way to pilots, to in-flight, to our director of operations. So different backgrounds, different educations, whatever they study in university or get their PhD. You're speaking to them, but you may never see them for another year. Or you're flying with somebody, and the next time you fly, you have somebody completely new that you never even knew existed, and you probably would never have met because it's not your circle of friends, but you become friends because you share 4 days with them in the cockpit.
How interesting! How interesting! And you have a you fly for a relatively smaller airline.
Yes.
So there are you have a much better chance of running into somebody than somebody say does who flies for United or Delta. I mean, you could fly with somebody and not see them again for the rest of your career.
At Delta and United, they probably have 6,000 pilots, and you probably would never. You change bases, you change airplanes. Once that happens, you probably won't see them. Even at my company, I've been there 4.5 years. I haven't seen some of the guys that I've seen at the beginning.
Now, Henry, does that make it tough? Like when Tom comes to work every day here, he knows who's going to be here in the building. When I go to work at Sports Leisure Vacations, I know who's going to be answering the phone and who's going to count the money and who my staff is. And you go in, and each day you're working with a different staff. Are there any challenges to that?
That's what our standards, we call them standard pilots. We have manuals, several manuals that say how we are going to operate the airplane. And from A to B, and make sure it's in a safe manner. So the standards guys make sure the pilots, we have call outs, we operate the airplane A, B, C in such a way that we know that person that's flying with us is solid. So we don't really have to question there's pilots like anything. It's race car drivers or doctors. Some are really sharp, some are just sharp.
I promised somebody I would ask you this question because there's been a lot of talk. In fact, our program was preempted a couple weeks ago for a special 9/11 program, a 10th anniversary program. And somebody asked me to ask you this question and said, you know, ask Henry, does he ever think about, especially when his stuff is all over the news, do you ever think about the fact that you could be flying an airplane and something like that? I mean, I know you must go through a lot of training and stuff, but just mentally, as a person, do you ever think about that possibility?
It's probably now in a high percentage of the pilots' minds, in the back of their minds. And our director of security, Mark Borsmer, yes, it's out there. They're always putting it in emails on what to watch these days or higher activity. Mm-hmm. But 9/11, yeah, I was flying from Dallas to San Francisco, San Francisco to Chicago. So obviously all three cities are very large. And so you just kind of brief the crew and make sure if they feel something out of the ordinary, most importantly is the communication, that they feel open enough to communicate with the pilots and not be judged, saying, oh, that's incorrect. If you have a problem, talk to us.
Tom, we got a couple. Before we get to the bottom of the hour here, we got a couple people online that we probably should take to get them into our contest.
Okay, all right.
So, Mike, Mike is on the phone with us. Mike, if you'd be kind enough to turn your radio down.
New airport.
Well, we'll go back to Mike in a minute. Hey, Pam, are you there?
I am.
Hey, Pam. Welcome to the Travel Guys. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Anything you'd like to ask, Henry?
How did you learn to fly?
I went to, there's two different routes. There's the military or the civilian, and I was civilian trained. And I just kept going and going and going. It's a long process, but I guess it's an enjoyable one if you look at it with the correct vision.
Right.
And you've tried to fly a lot of different aircraft.
Yes.
We talked about before, just so that you could learn to fly all sorts of different aircraft.
I was trained by, like I said, civilian. Then once you get into the airlines, then you are stuck with that if you remain what we call the golden handcuffs. You build seniority. You don't want to leave because you're making the money. But I kept going to different airplanes and companies to get different variety of airplanes.
Hey, Pam, we have a prize to give away here, and we're asking trivia questions. Let us ask you one.
Uh-oh.
Okay. What year did the Concorde visit Sacramento Metropolitan Airport?
Oh, my gosh. What year did the Concorde visit?
It was the opening of the second airstrip number two. And it was...
Any idea?
Want to give me a hint?
Nah, I can't. Don't have any hints, but you can take a wild guess.
Can you give me a hint as far as what decade, anyway?
I need a guess from you.
Okay, I would say
19's a start with that.
Yeah, that's good. 19 is good.
Yes, I would say 1980.
What?
She would say 1980, and then she went away. Give us a call. Give us a call back. She was in the right decade.
I know. Do you think she was Wikipedia stalling?
Believe it. I think so. I think so. All right. We'll get back to some more of that after after Aaron gives the news. And we've got Henry here. We're going to talk a little bit more about his book and more so about what causes somebody to just take off to Africa and just start exploring, the world explorer part of Henry Bernacki. When we come back after Aaron has the news for you at the bottom of the hour.
We are the Travel Guys in Entertainment News Talk 1530 KFBK, and one of our special guests over the years has been a guy by the name of John Holloway, and he's got this crazy place, you know, called Holloway Travel, and a website called Packing Lightly. And of course, I don't travel nearly as much as Mark. And Mark, tell me about when you go to John Holloway's store. Tell me what it is that you as a traveler get excited
I think
about.
He's got one of the most interesting places of business over there on Fulton Avenue between Hurley and Northrop. And it is Holloway Travel Outfitters. And it's just, it's a fun store to just go and roam around in for half an hour. It's a fun store to go and get some ideas on. And John also has a terrific website, packinglight.com, where, for example, today he's got a clearance sale on indispensable black dresses and Briggs and Riley suitcases, which Briggs & Riley is some of the best luggage out there. It's basically lifetime luggage. So you can get Holloway Travel Outfitters at packinglight.com, or you can go visit John at their store on Fulton Avenue. They are open 7 days a week. Tell them that the Travel Guys sent you.
And remember, when you got a question about anything travel in regards to, well, packing lightly or those disposable underwear or whatever, John and his staff will always take care of you. They've got the answers.
And remember, members of the Sports Leisure Travel Club, you can get passport photos for free at Holloway Travel Outfitters just by showing your Travel Club membership card.
Okay, we're back on the Travel and Entertainment Guys radio program. Coming up in the last quarter hour, my guest Doug Carson is going to join us and talk about a special event coming up a week from today. If you like blues music, you're not going to want to miss this discussion.
Hey, we got a prize that we need to give away here, so let's see if we can do that. We've got Mike on the phone from Folsom. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, buddy, we've got a little trivia contest here to give away a couple of passes to tour the airport next week. Can you tell us what year Sacramento Metropolitan Airport opened?
Oh, wow.
So you had that other answer, didn't you?
I'm going to guess 1982.
No. Bummer.
By the way, for those listening, the gal that was on earlier that inadvertently disappeared by the touch of a button, her guess was incorrect.
Was incorrect. Also, it was 19. All right, let's do this. I want to spend some time talking to Henry, and I want to give this prize away. If you would like to go with us to the airport grand opening and have a free Sunday brunch next week, go to travelguysradio.com. Just fill out the little comment form and just put brunch and airport on there. Put your email address on there, and at the end of the program, we will write back to one of you and tell you that you are the winner. Go to travelguysradio.com. The prize is for two people. Just enter in the comment thing, just put brunch or airport, and send it off to us, and we will pick a winner at the end of the program.
That's what you call power, to be able to switch a contest from an on-air to an online just at the...
Just like that. All right, our guest is Henry Bernacki. Henry is a pilot for Virgin America Airways. Did I get that right?
Virgin America Airlines.
Airlines, Airways.
Okay. Same. No difference.
But besides doing that, you're also a published author, and you have this tendency to just take off and go rambling. Rambling as in around the world. And you've written one book about, in part, your travels, which I know encompassed at least Nepal, because that's one of the destinations in your book. And now you're getting ready to take off for Africa. And when I asked you, I said, so do you just get on a plane and go and get off the plane? And you said, yes. How does all that work?
Well, the only thing I really look at, do I need shots to the area of the world I'm going? Yellow fever, typhoid, tetanus, if some countries will require those, or do I need a visa at the government imposing that? So you have to get that prior. So usually I go to a country that does not require a visa, and if the surrounding countries require a visa, that's when I start obtaining those. I go to the consulate or embassies. And I literally just go with, I look nice, appropriate, because you have to. You have to wear a uniform when you're jump seating. And then in my rucksack, I have a jacket and two pairs of socks, maybe another pair of pants and another shirt, and maybe a pair of shorts. It depends on the weather, though. And I just try to carry as little
too
as
much information there.
Yeah.
You know.
I just literally just go, because I think the least amount I carry is better, because I can move at the pace of the city.
Where next?
It's going to be probably West Africa.
Will there be a, you think, maybe another book out of this adventure?
Well, I have five other books and that I'm still working on.
Okay.
The one that Mark read, it is book three of a series of four. So I released that one first because of the you could be younger, older, you could be man, woman. It doesn't really, your sexual preference doesn't matter. It's just, it hits a lot more people. The other books are all about traveling. And I don't want just to be a travel author. I wanted to be more or less writing about people and the places.
Because you're heading all over the planet. Your job takes you all over the planet, which I'm guessing this is one reason that you're an airline pilot. I think you alluded to that earlier.
Yes.
Is that the ability to be able to go wherever it is that you want to go.
That's exactly it. I in the process of becoming a safer, well-qualified pilot, I really fell in love with flying. But at the beginning, it was like, I just want to travel around the world. And now I think my job literally is traveling, because the way I travel is getting off an airplane, not knowing where I'm staying, how I'm getting around. I think that's a lot of work, because you just have to really have a lot of trust in yourself and knowing how to read people. And flying, I get off in New York City, a van picks me up, takes me to my hotel. That's relaxing to me, because I know in West Africa or in Asia or in Russia, I'm the one finding everything. You go out, if you need the visa, you go out and find the embassy. Nobody's there except you. You can ask your questions. But you're the one getting all
the information. I noticed in your book, you said you're one of your characters, he's in an airport and he asks somebody, or a bus station, and he asks which is the way for the bus. And then you said something about the fact that you always asked another half a dozen or 10 people in order to make sure that you knew because of the language. I'm guessing that's because of the language barrier. So you're a man, it would be summed up perhaps by saying you're a man who does your homework before you go. And then who does his homework along the way to perhaps try to avoid getting into a situation that that might be something that you don't want to encounter.
Right. I think before I go, I really just look at like the shots and the visa. I don't want to spoil it with too much information, because that could be overwhelming, just going into a new geographical part of the world, of how much you're going to be invaded, your senses, your thoughts. Everything is just being overwhelmed at that time. So I just allow myself to do it. But when you're there, that's when it's time to adapt. Look at the people, talk to the people, and then, because not everybody wants to say they don't know. Like, oh, where's this bus? They don't want to say I don't know to a person that's from a different country who came up to them and actually had confidence in them to say, I'm going to ask you a question. So a lot of people just answer. They'll say, oh, down the street. And so down the street, make a right is, to me, make a right, make a left. It's, you know, it depends on what language I'm speaking at the time. I'm like, they just don't want to say they don't know. So I make sure I get enough people to kind of point me in the correct direction to keep asking along the way.
Well, there you go. Now, there's some information that can make you a smarter traveler.
Absolutely. Yeah. Henry, we talked about the best part of the job. What's the worst part of being an airline pilot?
Oh, the worst part. Let's say you really enjoy a 4-day trip. Our longest trip at Virgin America is 4 days. Other airlines are different depending if international, but you really enjoy the people, the crew that you're working with in that 4-day trip. That 4-day trip will end, and you may never fly with that person or that group of people again. And I think that's the worst part, is that you have such a combination of personalities and people that come together for 4 days. You enjoy each other's company, the conversations, and at the end of it all, you say goodbye. And that crew is forever probably not going to come back together.
If you could change something about your job, what would you change?
Longer layovers. Because we fly to Cancun and Cabo and other spots, but the Cancun is about 25 hours.
And I was going to say, what's your typical layover?
It varies. It goes from 9 hours all the way to 27, depending on which city.
And people don't realize, like, for example, this afternoon, people will fly in on a United flight. A crew will fly on a United flight this afternoon, and they will probably go out tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Sometime. They'll have a layover of overnight in a few hours. And like you said, sometimes it can be very close to the minimum. Sometimes if you get so more senior people can bid on those runs that allow them the longer layovers in more desirable destinations, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's the wide bodies, the narrow bodies. The wide bodies being overseas flying. So I try to typically bid late show on the first day, late show on the second day, early. So I'm back home by noon on the last day, which basically I only work 3.5 days.
See, like Ben, our mileage runner, he's got a strategy too, just for being an airline pilot. Henry, before we have to let you go here, you're a world traveler, which is something that I think a lot of people would listen to you and they would say, wow, I wish I could be that person. I wish I could be that age. I wish I could have that ability to be able to go and see and do things. If there was, based on what you've seen and where you've gone and what you've done, if you could change something or some part of the world or some part of the travel process, what would it be?
That's an excellent question, Mark. I think the most difficult thing for me is getting the visas, finding out about the visas in a country. Do I need a visa? I would opt to hopefully not have visas. I mean, if you're certain, if you can say I'm a safe person, I'm this or that, and you can go on a government website or something and say, hey, you can background check me right now. Can I get clear of the visa? I know it will never happen. But that's probably the biggest thing. Or have somebody live overseas. If somebody has that much of an interest in overseas or another country, go. It really just explore, live, study, and that's just going to open up new avenues that we never thought were able to be opened. I know that's how I fell in love with it.
One more question. What do you want to be when you grow up?
There was a little kid in the cockpit one time, and I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I want to be a pilot. And I said, you can't be a pilot because we never grow up. And his parents were stunned when I said, oh, you can't be a pilot. But they got the joke afterwards. I would hope when I grow up I could just be an explorer and travel continuously. I'm blessed enough to have the ability, the mindset, to travel in a mature way, but also be childlike enough that I can adapt to the world and whatever it throws at me.
What you and I do is different in that you travel the planet, I travel the country. But there are a lot of similarities, I think, in what we're looking for when we're out there on the road. And it gets in your blood, and it's hard to describe to people exactly what it is that makes you want to know what's over that next hill. But like you, I'm one of those people who want to know what's over the next hill. Henry, I hope that when you get to Africa or wherever your next journey takes you, please stay in touch with us, and we'll look forward to being able to have you in studio again and keep folks updated on where it is that your travels take you.
Oh, thank you very much for having me back, and I definitely will stay in touch.
Thanks, Henry. My last question, and then we'll let you go. What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie?
You know, it says a lot about people when you ask them that question.
I like The Breakfast Club.
Well, there you go.
There you go, right? Right there. We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and don't get the blues, because we've got the cure right after this break. Welcome back to the Travel Guy. It's always good if you turn the microphone on. Sorry about that, Thomas. Hey, we need to tell folks who are listening to our interview with Henry that if you are interested in details on Henry's book, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and there is a link that will take you right to Amazon in case you are interested in purchasing that. I need to make a couple of quick announcements here. Let's see. Frankenstein, the Sacramento Theater Company, is going to do Frankenstein, the real Frankenstein.
No, not the real Frankenstein.
The real Frankenstein. Not the funny Frankenstein, the real Frankenstein. Next month, and I strongly recommend that you consider going to see it. Also, big event for the arts coming up next month, which is Prelude to the Season. The Sacramento Arts and Business Council is the sponsor of that. Lots of awards are given out, and it's an opportunity for people in the arts or people who are interested in the arts to gather together. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find information on the tickets for the event, which is on Friday, October the 14th at the Doubletree Hotel.
And so for those, because Mark's she's too shy to say, Sports Leisure Vacations is a key sponsor and key player in the Arts and Business Council, folks.
If we are most pleased.
Yes, he will be front and center.
All right, you have a special guest here in studio with us.
I do. If you've been listening to our radio stations here, particularly KFBK, I've been a lot of talk over the last week or so, and will be for some time in the next few weeks, having to do with breast cancer. We have a special program on called 31 Days and 31 Survivors. Amy Lewis has interviews with a number of survivors, and that's a great part of what KFBK is, has the opportunity to do. But there's a big event coming up, and I have the creator, the guy that started it all, Doug Carson, founder of the I'll Be Aware program. It's the Blue Blues Festival and Pasta Cook-Off fundraiser hitting its five-year anniversary. Doug, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Now, of course, I think we should preface by letting folks know that this program was started by you. Your wife was a victim of breast cancer.
Yeah, Albie died of breast cancer 9 years ago, and it came back after 3 years. And the reason why I started the foundation is that we've realized and found out that she wasn't being tested properly. And then when we actually dug into the facts, we found out from the doctor that follow-up PET scans and MRIs are not protocol. And we asked why, and they said that the insurance companies just don't really authorize them. So I was very angry because she died 6 weeks after she was told that she was cancer-free, and I said, you know, I need to do something. I want to go out and raise money to pay for these tests that people are not getting.
And how are we doing that?
Well, we're doing that with an event like this, Blues for Life. This is one of our major events. This money that we make from this event, which is so important to understand, this money goes directly to this diagnostic testing. This is one of the ways that we do it. We do it from donations, but special events like this is so vital to our success.
And, you know, it's nice to have there's lots of ways to get people to contribute and get involved in causes. But, of course, one of them is giving them a big payoff. And the big payoff Sunday, October 2nd, from 1 to 7 at the Torch Club is going to be, well, what do we got? We've got a pasta cook-off. My buddy Steve LaRosa will be there cooking. No,
Sorry you said that.
Steve's not cooking, is he?
No, he's, thank God he's not cooking.
Well, okay, all right, out of the woods there. All right, but lots and lots of entertainment, all-star lineup of bands, we got the Nibblers, Mercy Me, Walking Spanish, the list goes on and on. Let's see, participating, what else do we have here?
It looks like this is pretty cheap here, Tom. This is pretty inexpensive.
No, it really is inexpensive. $20 to get in. If you pay in advance, you can go online to bluesforlife.org and buy tickets online.
I understand there's a silent auction as well.
Silent auction as well. But I think it's also important, Tom, is that it's at the Torch Club, which is a stage inside the bar, but there's a stage in the parking lot behind the bar. So we take about half that parking lot, and that's a very large stage. So there's music going on outside and inside. And then there's a pasta cook-off with 10 major restaurants. You go get 10 tastings of the pasta, which fills you up, and then you take your pasta card and you vote for which one is the best that you feel. There's a great silent auction and a lot of great drink, and it's a lot of fun.
You know what we need to do is get these guys to call us, because this is going to be on during our program next week. Just give us a live call and let us know how this is all going on from down there. But more importantly, is that for $20, wow, my goodness, you got entertainment and just about all the food that you could possibly imagine there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's $25 at the door, and you can get in and just enjoy the music and the auction and beverage. Or not the beverage, you have to buy your beverages, but the pasta card is only $10, but that goes to give you enough pasta that's going to fill you up. It's of extremely great value, and I think it's really important to understand that that money goes directly to services. And in our region, it's not money going to national organizations and going out of here. It's going to something directly for people with breast cancer.
Tickets available now at eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com. You can get tickets in advance, and you visit the website at albieaware.org for more information.
Or we've got it all at travelguysradio.com if you didn't get all of that down.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
We'll make sure that happens. Doug, good luck, and we'll talk to you next week, see how things are going out there.
I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
You're welcome, and we would love to hear from you live during the program next week. We'll get all those people who are driving around with nothing to do on Sunday afternoon.
I think we might be able to
get them over to the Blues Festival and Pasta Cook-Off. Mr. Romano, how does your week shape up for you?
Hey, it shapes up with Sac State 1 yesterday. Got another game on our little radio station over at Classic 93.1 next Saturday, of course, and you can catch me 3 to 7 every afternoon. Classic hits of the 70s and 80s.
I see. Next weekend, we will have a lot. We will have reports from the opening of the Sacramento Airport special tours on Sunday morning. If you would like to win a tour for two, go to travelguysradio.com, fill out a comment form, and send it to us. We will pick a winner after we go off the air. Remember, we are the Travel Guys. An hour a week is all we ask. We'll see you next Sunday at 2 o'clock.